This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomOfTheGiants.com. Today is Tuesday the 18th of November 2014 and je m'appelle David Majimsey. This week's show is a look forward to our European trip to France and a look back at Carson Chubak's impressive debut weekend against the Steelers and Panthers. If you want to get in touch with us, you can on email podcast@KingdomOfTheGiants.com, our website www.KingdomOfTheGiants.com/podcast, on Twitter @AVFTB, interviews on SoundCloud, pictures on Instagram, rants on 02895-817510. That must be nearly every media angle covered. Pitchy, over to you.
To A View from the Bridge. As always, my name is Mark Hitchcock and I'm joined tonight by the two men you are accustomed to. Firstly, good evening to Mr. Davey Majimsey.
Good evening, Hitchy.
Good evening, sir. And also, it's always a pleasure, isn't it? It's TV's Neil Russell. Good evening, Neil.
Evening, Hitch.
Good evening. Right, jam-packed show for you tonight. We're going to be talking about two games over the weekend. One of them I've been asked not to talk about it too much, but it was the game in Sheffield, followed by the first visit of the Nottingham Panthers to the Odyssey for this term. We'll be looking around the league, as we always do, the free word weekends, and we'll be looking ahead to a huge weekend for the Belfast Giants as they skate into France for the Continental Cup semi-final. Three huge games down in France. So, without further ado, we'll start with the game on Saturday night. It was in the Sheffield Arena, the Motorpoint Arena, or whatever generic brand sponsors the Sheffield Arena this year. It was a 4-2 defeat for the Belfast Giants. Goals from Peacock and Sawada, not enough, as Waugh, Forney, O'Connor and an empty netter from Mazienko resulted in a 4-2 win for the playoff champions. Belfast's third straight road defeat. And Davey, I'll start with you. Not the best performance for the boys from Northern Ireland.
Certainly think you'd be right in saying that for the first 20 minutes at least of the game. I think we came out very, very slow, very lethargic, and we'll find ourselves behind right from the get-go. And you're playing a team of the quality of Sheffield. You know, let's take nothing away from them. Very, very good offensive team, and they're going to take a lot of beating in their own arena. And you just can't afford to give a team of the quality of the Sheffield Steelers that sort of lead. And although I'm absolutely certain the second goal shouldn't have stood, you know, very, very odd goal. I believe it came off the net, and I don't believe across the line. When you see the slow motion replays from behind the net, you just cannot see that puck crossing the line. So, you know, different night, things like that go your way. But overall, I think after 20 minutes, Sheffield were worthy of their lead.
On the night, Belfast outshot the Steelers 34-30. It was the debut of Carson Chubak. And coach, out of the four goals, obviously, he only conceded the three. One was an empty netter. And as Davey says there, you could argue one of them didn't even cross the line. So maybe he only conceded two. What was your thoughts on Chubak's first game there in Sheffield?
Well, it was a difficult start for him in that, you know, kind of opening couple of minutes, and you know, the Steelers getting that go-ahead goal. But I thought he was superb across the rest of that game. And I know we'll go on to talk about Sunday as well. I thought he was superb. But it looks like a very good pickup by Steve Thornton. He looked in control, to be honest with you. He looks like he's got a good glove hand. You know, I was really impressed with him over the course of two games, as I think a lot of the fan base were.
Interesting results between the perceived big three this season so far. You've got Sheffield Steelers who have played Nottingham twice away and lost twice. They beat them at home, though. Belfast obviously having a split series against Nottingham. David, back to you with Sheffield. Two games so far down, both in Sheffield, two defeats, but a big game at the end of the month in the Odyssey. What have you seen from Sheffield? Where do you see the chinks in the armour that Belfast should be exploiting as you obviously want to get some points from them on the board ASAP?
I think sort of harping back to what I said in the opening question to me. We have to get out to a fast start. We can't be coming into the end of first periods, end of second periods, chasing game, because it's much, much easier to defend a lead than it is to go chasing the league. And we've shown over the course of the season, when we're leading after one, two periods, we're very, very difficult to beat. The two games between Sheffield, you could put a cigarette paper between us. You know, there's nothing between the teams. They're really two really well matched up teams. And to be honest, the games against the Panthers have been very, you know, attritional games as well. So it's just really, and it's not a game of luck, but you make your own luck. But, you know, it's a game of such fine margins, as coach would say, you know, and there's so little between the teams. It's just getting that lead is crucial. So for me, coming out in the first 20 minutes and bossing one of these games is going to be crucial. You know, I think Sheffield's seen the opportunity for Chewback coming off a long travel week, maybe very little practice coming in, and they got at us really early. You know, they got a lot of momentum. They got a lot of shots on Chewback early, and he was unlucky with the first goal. I thought it was a fantastic finish from a while, but, you know, that's just, for me, Getting out, being prepared to come out for the very start of the game, and know that your first shift is most important, and then your second shift, and you just got to play the game in really, really small chunks against these very, very good quality teams.
I agree with everything that Davey has said there. I think, you know, from Steve Thornton's perspective, I think that slowness from a Giants perspective will be something that he will be trying to address. You know, we just seem to be slow out of the traps on a fairly regular basis. And you really can't afford to be, especially on the road. You know, if you go a goal or two behind on the road, it is so difficult to claw it back. But I think on the flip side of that, I think, you know, whenever you're playing minus Mike Compton, you're playing minus Mark McCutcheon, Mark Garside, three really good centremen, you know, key pivotal players, Mike Compton especially, Mark Garside especially. It's hard to comment on McCutcheon. We'll have him. Barely seen him. He's played five games. You know, minus those three guys, real important kind of key players within the setup of the team. You know, so from that perspective, the work rate of the team, you know, it's hard to question that in any way. One player who I thought, you know, and I suppose it's because he's the big NHL guy and all the rest, I thought Westgarth had his first kind of really sluggish game for the Giants. You know, he had a really good opportunity to kind of get a shot in on Doyle. You know, he had plenty of time, and I can't remember who the defenseman was that was able to get back. It might have been Gord Baldwin. Was able to, like, kind of skip back and nip the puck off him, and he just was over sluggish overall. And I think the three of us, and well, Paddy wasn't watching, but he was in the conversation all the way from South Africa. But, you know, we were saying, like, the overall level of physicality in the game, I was really surprised that from both teams, I thought it was like a bit of an insipid performance, you know, overall in terms of the level of physicality. I'm expecting the likes of Kevin Westgarth, Ray Sawada, Kiefer does it most games anyway, to be coming out and hitting bodies and putting him, the Steelers' defensive court under a lot of pressure and playing a real physical game. And we didn't do that on Saturday night. And, you know, I think sometimes maybe, you know, I'm sure Steve Thornton says it to the guys, you know, those early shifts are so important. It kind of lays down a marker for the game whenever you see the likes of Westgarth and Keefe and Lloyd coming out in Sawada and taking the body, but haven't seen as much as I would like to see so far in that regard.
Coach, can I jump in there? See if we go back to, if you listened actually to the conversation we had after the first game in Tintown, mm-hmm. You know, it's exactly the same. We mm-hmm. said, you know, the game was just so surprisingly tepid, if you like. Mm-hmm. It was a real European almost style of skilled hockey on show. Don't get me wrong. The product I thought was good, quite a good game to watch, and it went end to end and all. But just that level, you know, the physicality, as you call it, just the type of thing that we expect from two challenging teams, a lot of banging bodies, you know, it just, and that was just before our previous European trip as well. And we discussed, was it because the guys were maybe thinking already of adjusting their game to the more European style that they were going to face in the week to come? Both games were replicas of each other.
But is that a myth? Because the most physical game that I have seen this season was the Belfast Giants versus Bremerhaven over in Germany. It was an absolutely superb game of hockey. Every single check was finished by Bremerhaven and by the Belfast Giants. So, the, you know, I don't know whether this is sometimes a myth, and I know we sometimes have this debate with, I know you're not so much into your German hockey, but Hitchie, you could probably jump in on this. I know that Paddy and the likes of our friend Aaron Kernaghan as well would say that German hockey can be as physical as the hockey that we see in the Elite League on occasions. You know, I just haven't, I'm not sure whether that's a wee bit of a myth. I just, maybe it's a body thing. You know, obviously it takes a lot of energy to kind of finish those big hits and all the rest. And you run the risk maybe a bit more of picking up an injury whenever you're finishing those big hits or whatever. But I don't know, Hitchie, what's your thoughts on it overall? I know you weren't overly impressed with the game.
No, well, watching the game on the night, I was quite disappointed with both teams, to be honest. I thought Sheffield didn't even have to get out of second gear. I think I was scathing in the first period, and they didn't even have to get out of first gear to really pinch ahead of Belfast in the game. You would expect a team like Belfast, and certainly over the past few years, just as Nottingham and other teams, they would come into the Sheffield Arena always battling to try and get at least a point out of it. But no, there was no checks being finished, there was no niggling after the play, there was no, you know, getting in the goalie's face in the crease at the end of the play. It was all very friendly.
But is that symptomatic of hockey in general now? You know, has hockey softened? I you know me, like we talk about this on a regular basis off air with each other. You know, has hockey changed? Is this starting to filter its way down to the Elite League?
Not across the board. I've heard reports that there was a very, very tasty game in Nottingham against Coventry recently, not even against Sheffield, but against Coventry. And I think the tone of the game is always set, isn't it, in the first few minutes. And I think from the offset in the game on Saturday night, it was very, very gentle from both teams. And it just seemed to pan out all the way through the game until somebody threw a check in the final period.
Darryl Lloyd.
We all started getting ridiculously excited about it. But that should be the norm. For me, the game was a disappointment. It was almost a pre-season or testimonial type feel to it. I'm delighted personally, that Sheffield won it, but I would have expected more of a challenge and more of a battle from Belfast in that game. And in a way, it almost took away some of the satisfaction of the victory that two teams didn't really, in my opinion, come out and play to their best ability. And hopefully that'll be reversed on the 30th when Sheffield travel to Belfast. I'm certainly looking forward to that fixture.
I know you're making your way across the REC for that one.
I certainly am. Can't wait. Okay, so thank you for your comments on the game, guys. One last thing to note, we spoke about Jonathan Phillips before, so we won't touch upon that. He was honoured for the 500, I think it was his 502nd game. But Robbie Sandrock got his 200 club membership on Saturday night. Quick soundbite from you, coach. 200th game for the Giants. What's your thoughts on the guy that is Robbie Sandrock?
Well, I have to be honest and say whenever he first came here in our, I think it was our second season as a franchise, he was my favourite player that season. You know, and I was always a big Schulte fan, huge Carlander fan. But Robbie Sandrock, whenever he came over here first time, just lit the place up. His slap shot was even harder then than it is now, in my opinion. Just a fantastic servant to our club. And, you know, he went off to the DEL, did really well over in Germany, forged a really good career for himself. And then Todd Kellman brought him back again for his second stint. He's been here now for the last few seasons. And, you know, he gets Belfast. He's a fantastic hockey player. Like, just looking at his stats this season, he's 22 points already this season. You know, he's just been absolutely lighting it up now with 18 assists and 4 goals, I think it may well be. You know, he's just been lighting it up big time again this season. You know, and fantastic servant, you know. And listen, you know, I don't know how many more years Robbie's got in him or how many more years Robbie wants to continue to play on, but I'm sure as long as Robbie wants to play the game and keep going, I'm sure Steve Thornton will have him back for until he makes that decision.
Thank you, coach. And so that's the Sheffield Steelers game wrapped up, a 4-2 victory for the Steelers over the Belfast Giants. And the highlights are available if you want to have a look at the game, and in particular, have a look at that second Sheffield goal. See what your take on it. Give us a tweet later to the @AVFTB account and see what you think. Was it a goal? Was it not a goal? Unfortunately, we don't have Hawkeye in the Elite League yet, so we'll never know for sure. But my money's on Mike Hicks being correct because it benefited my team. So highlights available on the Sheffield Steelers website. So moving on to the Sunday night fixture, the Belfast Giants flew back home to face the Nottingham Panthers. And this time they were on the, well, it was a reverse of the result in Sheffield, and it was a 2-1 win for the Belfast Giants. Sorry, Blumenek. I don't want to get in trouble with Davey, do I? Giants goals from Sandrock and Chevrier, and it was a, well, a much-needed result for the Belfast Giants before they depart the Elite League for a weekend to go to the Continental Cup. Now, it's a win against Nottingham, so there's only one man I should turn to first, and that man is Davey McGimsey. Davey, how did it feel to get that win for you personally on Sunday night?
Do you know, Hitchy, it doesn't matter what the score is, what the performance is like, anything at all. It just matters what the final score is. You know, it's 2-1 win to us. That's good enough for me. It doesn't matter that it was a bit of a attritional game. It was quite a good game to watch, but the win, the result, that's what it's all about against this battery. And we won, and that's all that matters.
Coach, over to you. I didn't see the game on Sunday because I was watching the webcast of the Steelers game. 32 shots to Panthers 31. Was it as close as it sounds? It sounded like it was a very tight affair.
Yeah, Sis and I made comment on quite a few occasions on the webcast that, you know, it was going to be a one goal game, and that's how it proved to be. I thought it was a good game of hockey. I thought it started off a bit scrappily. Is that even in the English dictionary? It's a bit scrappy in the opening kind of stages of that first period. But what a fantastic goal by Robbie Sandrock, set up beautifully by Evan Chevrier, who was absolutely superb across the entire 60. I mean, Evan Chevrier is, again, he just does not get the credit that he deserves in this team. Chevrier was superb for us last year. He's absolutely sublime to watch again this year. 27 points in whatever it is, 14, 15 games so far this season. He has been absolutely superb. And his saucer pass right across to Robbie Sandrock, who jumped up into the play and put a laser beam past Modig, was absolutely superb shorthanded. And that kind of lit up the arena on Sunday. But overall, I thought it was a good game of hockey, Hitchy, between two good teams. You know, again, we were going into that game short bench minus McCutcheon, Compan, and Mark Garside. You know, and the Steelers, or the Panthers, sorry, were minus Maxime Perrin. You know, we were in, again, bodies light, but I thought we did very well. You know, to skate away with the 2 points is always important, as Davey says, against the Nottingham Panthers.
Well, it was Chubak's home debut. He only conceded the one goal, and that was the debutant. It was the return. Back to you, Davey. Get the soundbite ready. The Belfast Datsuk, not anymore. It was the Nottingham numpty, Chris Higgins. First game back in Belfast. How did he perform?
I think it's a bit unfair to criticise him too harsh because he is just coming back into, you know, back to fitness after a long layoff. He hasn't played that many games. You can clearly see that, you know, he's very rusty. But, you know, he had a perfect opportunity to stop the Giants scoring, and he chose the option of stepping out of the way and letting the Belfast Giants player pass. We broke away and scored. You know, that kind of thing, you know, that gets noticed. I think Sis noticed it very, very clearly on the webcast, and he wasn't too shy in letting everyone know what he thought about it. You know, Chris Higgins has got talent to burn, and when he's fully fit, he'll be a handful. But just at the minute, coming back from injury, he's not the player he was 12 months ago here, that's for certain. And just another thing, I tweeted my very, very good friend, Susie Dent, just while you were talking there, Coach. Scrabbly, it's in the dictionary.
Thanks for that, David.
No problem.
No, in terms of Chris Higgins' performance, you know, listen, there's always going to be a bit of theatre whenever he stepped onto the ice. You know, as we've said many times, for a Belfast Giant to leave and go to the Nottingham Panthers is sacrilege to the Belfast Giants faithful. And Chris Higgins got met every time he touched the puck with a round of booze from the 4,500 people inside the Odyssey Arena, and quite rightly so. You know, I liked Higgins. You know, I thought he was a very good player. whatever he had, 60 odd points in 50 games for us last year. People sometimes say, oh, too fancy Dan. He put points up on the board.
Yeah.
He set up plenty of plays. I was an advocate of Chris Higgins. Yes, he did overplay things or over-egg things at times. So what? I like watching good hockey players. I like watching skillful hockey players. The likes of Chris Higgins, as Davey quite rightly says, whenever he's in full flow, he's a bums out of seats type guy. You stand up and applaud what you've just seen. And
Coach, sorry to jump in there. Just go back to the doubleheader in the NIC last year. Hitchy interviewed me just after he scored. He sold two or three Panthers and absolutely undressed Kaywall, arguably the best goaltender in this league. He's left him on his backside and fired a puck into an empty net and more or less, sealed the league championship. This guy has got skill to burn. It's just a pity he decided, to follow the Benjamin Franklins instead of following silverware.
Well, the Belfast Datsuk was credited with an assist on the second Giants. Only kidding. Should have been, though. Twitter question here. I'm just going to throw this in, a bit of a curveball. Sorry, Patrick, I'm going against the norm. A tweet from Andrew Adley. I'm going to ask you this one, TV's Neil Russell. After the Sawada penalty shot, personally, in an incident such as that, would you rather have a two-minute power play or the penalty shot?
Oh, good question. You do tend to see quite a few of those penalty shots saved more times than not. It would be interesting to see. I know maybe Davey has some of the stats up on that, or maybe we'll ask Alan Hamilton, the Belfast Giants statistician, on that. It's a good question. I think I would always go for the penalty shot, I suppose. I don't know. It's maybe a 50-50 call. Not 100% sure. It's a good question. Haven't really had time to think about it, to be honest with you. Yeah, Davey, probably go for the penalty shot.
Davey, do you care enough about the question to answer it?
Yes, I do, because I care about our followers. For me, and this is gonna maybe sound silly, but in a cynical, usually to get a penalty shot, it's a very cynical last minute hack down from behind. I think that's pretty much what the rule is anyway. You have to be taken down from behind, clear goal scoring opportunity. I think it should be a 2 minute penalty and a penalty shot.
Oof. Ooh,
double jeopardy, double the punishment for what is a complete professional foul. I think you should sit in your backside for 2 minutes. Should that be just a misconduct where the player takes a penalty and not the team? Don't know, but I think it should be a penalty against the player as well as a penalty shot.
Blimey. Let's get the IIHF on the show next week and have it out with them, eh? Sunday night. Now, another great, great result for the Giants on Sunday was the fact that historically a very difficult pull in terms of crowd numbers was over 4,500 in the Odyssey on Sunday night. I mean, that was really, really pleasing to see, especially with the Giants organization being, I suppose, forced into having more Sunday fixtures this season. And coach, big, big crowds on a Sunday night. It's what a change, what a refreshing change for the Giants org.
Yeah, very much so, because, as we have discussed in this podcast many, many times, and you've already alluded it to there in your conversation just before asking me that question, Belfast historically struggles on a Sunday to attract a crowd. And certainly, I think we've had maybe now two Sunday fixtures this season, two very, very healthy crowds. Sis and I, whenever we first went on the commentary, it was probably the first thing that we kind of really mentioned was a very healthy crowd, and it just grew and grew. And, I actually think I commented, halfway through the first period, there must be well over 4,000 people inside the Odyssey Arena. And listen, that's good to see, because, I think I would imagine that the club are probably worried about these Sunday fixtures that we've got in the diary this year. The Odyssey Arena, obviously, you have to cater for all various different events that go on inside the arena throughout the course of the year. And, that's not our ideal type night. We always prefer a Friday night or a Saturday night, which always seems to attract the bigger crowds. But, listen, fair play to the guys. They've got good bums and seats, and that always helps as well against the Nottingham Panthers. You need an atmosphere. There was a good atmosphere. I thought it was a pretty good atmosphere. I still think we could probably do other things to kind of generate, both from the fan base and both from the club side of things. But, I thought the atmosphere overall was pretty good on Sunday. It was great to see so many bums on seats. So well done to the guys behind the scenes for getting people into the arena.
Big shout out to Mark Brooks. And if you're listening, Mr. Fitzpatrick, definitely worthy of that Christmas bonus. So the Panthers derailed since their big Steelers win. Ew. Three straight defeats. Crimea River. Highlights on the Giants Live TV website, where, as always, you get to hear the seductive tones of the white Barry White, Simon Kitchen, and obviously their TV's Neil Russell, as seen on Premier Sports. Post-game interviews are available on the official Giants website and Audio Boo, and they include some words from the debutant Carson Chubak. And, Chubak made his debut, and we hope to speak to him in the coming weeks here on A View from the Bridge.
Hitchy, yes. just before you go on there, and sorry to jump in, I think it would be worth adding that, Corey Nielsen had his own troubles. His mother passed away in the last week or so. He had had to fly back to Canada and back, So I think from everyone at A View from the Bridge, we'd pass on our condolences. I know we'll have plenty of ribbon with the Nottingham Panthers and we hate them and all that there, but I think when it comes down to, the human side of things, I think we'd pass on our condolences to Corey Nielsen and his family.
Yeah.
Good words. Nice, kind words there, Davey. I'm a bit of an exclusive here. Belfast's next generation NHLer, Kevin Westgarth, spoke to Davey. And Davey, good chat you had with Kevin, eh?
Yeah, I started by asking him how he was enjoying his life in Belfast.
I've been having a great time. It's a wonderful city. My wife and I have been able to begin exploring in many different ways. Actually got to see the Christmas market, which is a pretty special thing to see and have in Belfast here. And obviously, the pubs are pretty special themselves, too. So we're starting to fit in and settle in, and it's been a great couple weeks so far.
How did the move to Northern Ireland come about? Was Europe on your radar? Were you chasing this, or did it all just sort of happen very fast?
Everything happened pretty quickly. We we were talking to some teams back in North America, and then had kind of put out some feelers to see what the potential could be over here in Europe. And this opportunity in Belfast came up, and after just kind of hemming and hawing, making sure it was the right call, and speaking with obviously Steve Thornton and a few other people that have played over here, it ended up being a very easy decision to come to Belfast and play for the Giants. It's a great team, great organization, and now getting to know the guys in the city, I feel like I've definitely made the right choice.
And you've played a handful of four games or sort of that now. You're starting to find your legs.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of an adjustment, and I know hopefully Coach Thornton is a little patient with me too, just trying to figure out how to kind of when to take your chances and when to play it safe. And I've been playing a pretty straight line, very physical, but uncreative, kind of very simple version of hockey for the last few years, out of necessity, and basically just making sure that I was defensively responsible and kind of creating havoc, but never really creating a whole lot. Any goals and points that I'd be part of were usually just kind of straight physical force and kind of overpowering the other team, getting to the net and such. So coming over here with the bigger ice and obviously a little bit different role, I think I'm able to play and create more, and that's been a lot of fun. But I'm sure there's been some Coach would tell you that there's been some growing pains a little bit, but I look forward to getting better and better.
Yeah, well, you're the one that's brought up, the physical style of play that you're probably more used to. Is it something do you enjoy the responsibility of being, that guy, the one that everyone, looks to for that? And do you think you had a bit of an altercation? I was down in Cardiff the other Sunday night and you had a bit of a fight with Tyson Morrison. Do you think you've maybe put down a bit of a marker already that, the Giants just aren't going to be messed about with this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't look to do it a whole lot, but I mean, that can be definitely a positive. Sometimes you have to be able to rest, or maybe not rest, but take advantage of, your reputation and what you've done before. And hopefully that creates some room for my teammates and, allows them to play a little bigger and a little tougher and know that, know, they should be, they're going to be okay. So, you know, if it happens, it happens. But, yeah, I guess I look forward to contributing on the scoreboard a lot more here, and hopefully I continue to improve at that while maintaining kind of physical edge that I've always enjoyed and have kind of made most of my career on, essentially.
Yeah, I was speaking to Steve Thornton after the Cardiff game, and we both sort of noticed, you know, probably a little bit more time on the puck than perhaps you're used to in North America, and you certainly have very, very skilled hands. Is this a something that you're looking forward to, contributing much more in the playmaking side of the game?
Absolutely. And that's been kind of part of the figuring it out. It's, for the last 25 years, I've been working on playing hockey and definitely improving my hands and my skating every year. So it'll be nice to kind of be able to bust out some moves, but definitely in a smart way and, safe way that's not detrimental to our team. And that's going to be that's kind of what I'm saying, figure it out. Kind of taking those chances when it's the right time, but I definitely need to, you know, score some goals and get some confidence and make sure that my line mates and I are clicking on all cylinders to start winning some games in a hurry here.
Well, you've played now a few games, as you say. You've had a couple of games at our home arena at the Odyssey. You've had one in Sheffield. They've got a lovely arena too, but you must have enjoyed playing down in Cardiff's tent there. It's perhaps a bit of a change from what the buildings you've been used to over the last number of years, but there's got a few of those barn, old style barns in the league here.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of a few more years ago than I'm used to, maybe. Obviously I've played in many all style and types of rink over a pretty long career, so. Yeah, it was a little bit of a throwback, I will say, but that new rink they're building looks like it should be a beauty. But yeah, the big blue tent was certainly novel coming over here, and it was at least an interesting experience at very least. And yeah, I think we're so lucky here in Belfast to have the Odyssey. It's a beautiful arena that's gets rocking when everybody shows up and cheers on the Giants. So I'm pretty proud to play there and pretty lucky to be here as well.
There's definitely a difference of locker room, that's for sure. But we'll move on to this weekend coming, the Continental Cup in France. Back-to-back-to-back games, three games in three nights against some tough opposition. That was easy for me to say. You must be relishing the challenge.
Absolutely. I mean, in this league, those back-to-back games obviously come up a lot, but then to play 3-3 is certainly a little different, but I think everybody on our team is prepared for it, and it's just going to be managing ourselves, Thordy does a great job with practices and makes sure everybody's in top shape, so hopefully our fitness will shine through, and, got to make sure we're eating right and making sure that we get enough calories after those games. So it's going to be a little bit of a throwback to playing in the AHL, where we used to play 3-3s and sometimes four games in five nights, which was, as you said, always a bit of a challenge, but it's something you have to overcome, and obviously that's a big that's what we look to do.
And talking of things to overcome, I was chatting with Steve Thornton earlier on. You've got the likes of yourself, Ray Suada, Adam Keefe, Darragh Lloyd, all guys that can handle themselves physically. Do you think you have to adapt maybe the style of play for the slightly less physical style of European, and especially the sort of less tolerant refereeing that you're going to have this weekend of the physical style of game?
Yeah, that's something that I've kind of heard about, and I guess we'll have to. Now, I know, as I said again, Coach will have us prepared for it, and obviously the guys played in Germany there last month, so everybody has a little bit. I'll be able to pick their brain and kind of understand what we're in for, and sometimes I'm sure it'll be frustrating. We all like to hit and use our big bodies, and sometimes, as you said, it's not tolerated quite as well, and that will be an adjustment. But I think with you know, the fact that we're at this stage shows that we can kind of do it all, and hopefully, yeah, again, we look to prove it again and move on to the next round after this weekend.
Super. And just before we go, we've got a few questions from our Twitter followers here for you. We've got one from Irish Lou.
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference between the EAHL and the leagues you've been playing in the last number of years?
Oh, boy. Let's see. What would be the biggest difference between... Well, there's... I would say maybe the... I would say maybe the food that you get after the game. You know, it's nice to be able to have a big full spread you know, good quality food in the dressing room after games. We would play in Calgary. We had some sushi and some nice chicken and vegetables and bunch of good stuff. And obviously, it's you know, pretty expensive to try to do that every game, so it's more up to the guys and the players to figure out their nutrition, which is you know, sometimes a challenge, but again, it's one of those things that's part of the game, and you have to make sure that you do the best you can with what you got, and it's great to have to manage that.
I can just imagine the Cardiff scenario there from a couple of weeks ago, but we'll move on to Adam McKenzie has sent, have you been to Boojum yet for a world-famous Belfast burrito?
I have, and it was delicious. I'm very excited to be able to be a repeat customer on many, many occasions. It's, yeah, it definitely reminds me of a great burrito from back in the States. So it's, I look forward to enjoying more of those, and there's some good nutrition for you right there. They got a little bit of everything. So,
and our final question for our Twitters comes from Claire Locke, and she says, Christmas only 1 month away. What would Wesley want from Santa?
Oh, just the same thing as everyone else. I just want my wife to be happy. And no, I'm trying to win some points here. Maybe that'll get me a better Christmas present. But let's see, what would I want? Maybe, I think I need a new pair of skates at this point, so hopefully our guy Taff will maybe get me a little bit of an early Christmas present. I know I've been beating up on him pretty good in these battles over the last couple of weeks, so maybe Jeff Ellery will take care of me on that front.
Well, if Taff is Taff's the main man in Belfast, that's for sure, and I'm sure he'll sort you out. But Kevin, just before we let you go, what's your target for the weekend and the rest of the season?
Well, definitely this weekend we look to win all three games. I mean, we have high expectations here, and we're more than prepared and happy to have them and play for them. And that's our goal, definitely, is to win these three games this weekend to move on. And then, for the rest of the season, I think we got a good start kind of turning things around in this last game against Nottingham. And, we have to keep those wins coming, make sure that we're in the mix for all of our cups that we're up for this year. And, obviously everybody wants to win the league. So that's first and foremost for us.
Well, Kevin, thanks very much for your time. I'll look forward to talking to you later in the season.
That sounds great. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you there to Kevin Westgar for speaking to Davey. Let's look around the league, and the Sheffield Steelers marched on after the Saturday night victory over Belfast by making it a 4-point weekend, and what a huge weekend it could be looking back, beating fellow top team, the Brayhead Clan, 4-1. The Edinburgh Capitals rolled on after their incredible victory over the Nottingham Panthers the weekend before. They beat Dundee away and Fife at home to really take a stranglehold on that conference and try and lay claim to being the second best Scottish team after the shopping centre in Glasgow. There was a 4-point weekend for the Cardiff Kelmans as they beat the Panthers away with a shootout victory, and they also beat the Dundee Stars at home. If you're listening, Todd, hope you're well. Text me back, for God's sake. And finally, Hull edged towards the Challenge Cup quarterfinals with a win over the Coventry Blaze. Sounded like a tasty game. Everyone giving a lot of stick to Tendler, who stepped up and scored late on. Blaze now needing a favour, ironically, from their arch enemies, the Cardiff Devils. If Hull beat Devils in that final game, I think they're a point behind the Blaze at the moment, they will be through. Unfortunately, the Devils have nothing to play for in that game, so it will be up to see if the Cardiff Kelmans have any dignity and try and get that victory. And I guess, guys, again, I talk about this all the time, that game isn't doubled up as a league fixture. It's only a Challenge Cup, so chances are Cardiff aren't going to take it too seriously. But if they were going to double it up like other teams, they would have done. Again, am I being proven right? Is this inconsistency making a mockery of our great competitions and our great league? Davey?
The Challenge Cup, definitely. They've tried to freshen it up. They've gone for the one-off final in Sheffield this year. But they're doing themselves no favours with the way they're, you know, the early rounds are held. They just need to draw a line in the sand and say, you know, this is a premier competition. Your games are standalone games. You can't double games up. You have to play two legs in the quarter final. You have to play two legs in the semi final. These are the dates that you've got to play the games on. These are the dates the quarters and semi finals have to be played for. Am I right in reading the agenda there that one of the group games isn't until the 3rd of January?
That's the last game, yeah.
Yeah, so they don't even know the semi-final lineups and the finals in February time, is it? So they've got to squeeze the four quarter finals in, two semi-finals in, all a big rush to try and get to the showpiece final. It all just needs completely looked at from top to bottom and put a structure in place to make it. It's a fantastic trophy to win. I want us to get that out of Nottingham's hands. It sickens me every time I see a picture of them with the trophy. It is time for change. It's time for another team to win it. And it is time for, you know, let's make it the prestigious trophy it is. You know, I was talking to you earlier on about how disappointed it was that, you know, that Nottingham broke the trophy and then had to replace it. None of this Lonsdale belt nonsense that they won it so many times they were keeping it. Let's get the facts out there. You know, they busted probably. Let's get that old trophy fixed up again and get it back into circulation and make it the prestigious trophy that it is and it should be. I was so proud the night the Giants won that trophy. It was a trophy that I wanted to win for so many years. We go back to Black Sunday and all those years ago where we could have won it the first time and it didn't work out for us, and people still harp back to that day and how that was a seminal point in Giants history. You know, this is a big trophy to win. Let's make it important instead of just shoehorning it into league fixtures and stuff and just making it a bit of a bit part for the season.
Hitchy, did you not have some suggestion at the start of the season to do with the whole Challenge Cup, for it to be done and dusted by December, a big grand final in around, I don't know, mid-December or something like that?
Well, I grew up in the generation of the Premier League where the Benson and Edges Cup was played out, and the early season was a round robin, very similar to our playoff structure now of, well, not our playoff structure now, but how it was of four teams home and away. Quarterfinals, semi-finals, and then the final was in Sheffield in December, and it was a really beautiful gold trophy sponsored by the cigarette company. Cigarettes kill kids. Not they don't kill kids. I'm just telling kids that cigarettes kill. But it was done, and it was a great. And Nottingham used to have great success in that competition too, funnily enough. But it was good to see a team lift a trophy in December, and then you could then get Christmas out of the way, see all the family you don't really like, get into January and concentrate on the league. So I would argue till the cows come home that we should have the Challenge Cup, Benson and Edges Cup, whatever they're going to call it, done and dusted by the December. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. And it was never broken, that cup competition in that format. So, yeah, you're right. I would prefer to see it done.
Why not? Just say at the start of the season, your first 10 games, or how many games it is, 8 games, isn't it? Your first 8 games of the season are Challenge Cup games. There's no doubling up. There's no league games until the end of October, whatever that works out at, the end of September, start early here in the UK. You know, just do that.
Or double them all up. You know, if teams are struggling for ice time, if they're struggling financially, whatever. But the problem you've got is that Belfast are in a different group to the conference that they're in, so there could be issues there, but it's got to be consistent. This is the one. There's two things in British hockey that frustrate me at the moment. One is the fact that you have to just break wind and you're in the playoff final. The other one is the fact that The Challenge Cup is just a complete mess. And I'd like to finish the agenda item of the Challenge Cup just to correct Mr. Gary Moran. I'm sure he isn't listening.
I was just about to ask you that.
I'm sure he isn't listening because he's not on the podcast, so why would he listen? But the Sheffield Steelers have won the Challenge Cup 4 times, in fact. And for any Panthers fans furiously punching away their fat little fingers on their iPhones to say he only meant in the Elite League era, he didn't say that. He said Challenge Cups. And in 1998/99, 99/2000, 2000/2001, and 2002/2003, we won the Challenge Cup a couple of the times against you. So shut your face. Thank you very much.
Back to the Belfast Giants official podcast.
Yeah, sorry guys.
I'm a little hitchy, to be honest. If it's Panther bashing, you come on every week.
This is the official Panther. Yeah, okay. The league standings then. Belfast Giants top the league. And I guess, guys, you're going off into Europe. There are a couple of teams in the league standings with games in hand. Nottingham and Sheffield could both go ahead of the Giants with victories. And I'm sure come the end, well, it's technically impossible for you to be at the top of the league at the end of next weekend because Sheffield and Bray had played each other twice. But top of the league at this time of the year, I'm sure you're both satisfied with where you are. And there's been, I guess, criticisms that have been thrown at the Giants from some quarters, but still to be top of the league, it says a lot, doesn't it, about the group of players you've got?
Yeah, very much so, and especially the fact that we've played so short benched for from the start of the season, really. Steve Thornton, I listened to a couple of his interviews, after the game on Sunday and on Face Off there, the BBC production. He's spoken a couple of times about, the fact that we've probably just lost a couple too many games this side of Christmas for his liking. But we're still thereabouts. We've put ourselves under a bit of pressure, losing twice away to Sheffield, losing over in Nottingham, lost obviously over in Cardiff as well last weekend. Puts us under pressure for our home games. We have to make sure that the Odyssey is, a fortress for us this season. We have the old tagline or the hashtag of the Road Warriors. Hasn't really living up to its tagging from the last couple of seasons. The Giants have been superb on the road the last few years, and we haven't really started this season off that well on the road. But moving into this Christmas time, over the next 6 weeks, it's really, really important that we put a really good run of form together. And I think once we get back to full strength, obviously Garside's out for the next, six, 8 weeks maybe. But, once we get all the imports back on the ice and what have you, I think we'll be tough to beat.
Hashtag Road Warriors is one to use, kids. So moving on to the free word weekends, I'll rattle through these at some pace. We've got at Alan GW Price, that capitals Cherrier Pass. We've got at Hannah X Music, Jedi Wookie Chewback. At Red Girl Ann, she's there again, isn't she, Angie? Step up at Chibs Peterson 29, that's Chewback's official Twitter. Philip Armstrong, Elfring Flattens Higgins. Stephen Thompson, Unleash the Wookie. And I'm going to leave the last one from Sexual Jackson for Davey to read.
Higgins got nailed.
Thank you very much. Now, moving on, we're going to skate away from the UK over the English Channel to where the cheese smells fantastic and the wine makes you feel like you're on top of the world, the nation of France. And before we all chat about the forthcoming fixtures, Davey spoke to Steve Thornton.
Happy to say joining us again is Head of Hockey Operations for the Belfast Giants, Steve Thornton. Steve, very welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much.
Bit of a mixed bag last weekend again, 2 points from 4, but another 2 games on their belt and 2 solid performances from your new netminder, Carson Chewback.
Yeah, he played really well considering the one practice he was able to get in, the new equipment, and the ridiculous amount of travel he had to put in the 72-hour span. So we're happy. We're obviously not happy that Murph's injury was bad as it was, but we were fortunate that we were able to get a player with Carson's talent and it gave us a chance both nights. Sheffield's got a good team, not an injury to play in, and we were about away from putting points on the board in that game, which is kind of a little bit of a story. The few games we've had this year, we were close in Cardiff, we were close the first time in Sheffield, but unfortunately close to the count in hockey. We've got to find a way to pick up those road points because they're going to be critical when it comes to the end of the season.
It was a bit of a lethargic start from us in Sheffield. Is that something you can put your finger on a reason? Because when we jump out the lead in games, it generally finishes with a positive result for us, and when we're a wee bit slow out of the traps, we have ended up losing a few games.
No, I think that's sports. You know, like, we do what we can to prepare the guys, and you know, they got a goal on a, you know, a play that was a combination of a few kind of mental mistakes that put us behind the eight ball. That we go down and hit the post, and you know, and missed that chance. You know, they had great ways and chances as well, but it's fairly, you know, in terms of scoring chances, it was fairly even. Obviously, it's a lot easier to play with the lead than it is to chase the game, especially against a team with a high potent offense like Sheffield has. So it is something that, you know, we've got to make sure that we're aware of. And I think that in the league in general, it's not just Sheffield. It's every game, every team you play against, you can get confident that you give them a little bit of a head start. The league's really, really tight. You know, the teams are extremely even. There's not a lot of difference between, you know, not just the top teams, all of the teams this year. You're going to see that week in, week out when, you know, there's going to be the Edinburghs beating the Nottinghams and the Hull beating the Sheffield and whoever. You know, it seems to be happening more consistently now. So you've got to be prepared. It's tough for the newer guys. It's sometimes difficult to have the same kind of playoff mentality in preparation for 52 games of the year. But the guys that have been here, you know, especially the returning guys, know that you can't drop points early. You've got to find a way. And that's what gives you the chance to win the league title.
Then on Sunday, a game between two teams with outstanding offensive players, and it was a game that turned out to be a game of real high quality defense. A real war of attrition when we came out on the right side. It's always good to get one over the old enemy from Nottingham.
Yeah, it was actually a really good game, I thought. You know, it was, both teams played solid team D. They were limited mistakes. I mean, they were mistakes. You know, certainly when you're watching tape back, you can see there were mistakes that were made in the game, but it was, you know, not a lot of whistles. I thought the refs did a pretty good job. Guys were committed to deep defense, block and shot, making sure pucks got out, making sure pucks got deep at the blue line. And you kind of knew that it felt like a 1-1, the next goal was going to be the winner, you know, and you can almost feel that desperation and urgency, because it was two teams that, you know, were both on a bit of a losing skid that, you know, aren't used to it and aren't really teams that accept it. So, you know, it was played that way, very much in a playoff game, like I said before. So it was good to see the guys really gut out a victory there with you know, a short roster playing simple, almost road hockey at home.
Well then, we'll move away from home action and into this weekend upcoming Continental Cup campaign. I'll try these with Niemann Grodno on Friday, then Angers Saturday, followed by Czernak from Poland on Sunday. What are you expecting, and for the weekend, what do you already know about your opposition, that sort of thing?
Well, I think that they're going to be, you know, similar to what we faced last Continental Cup, in that they're going to have four lines. They're gonna come at us. They're gonna come at us hard. That's gonna be their game plan. They're gonna really roll the lines, and there's gonna be, you know, good skaters, good speed, good skill. Very much like it is when, you know, I played on the national team. If you go to the World Championships, like the Belarusians were, you know, they were good on the power play, and you know, they were creative, and you know, they took short shifts. They went hard. They had the depth. So that's kind of what I expect. I know the French league is, you know, the French national team is consistently finding their way up to Pool A, and so the French players are going to be solid. They've got some good imports on that team. They're going to be, their league doesn't play as many games, so it's a different type of fitness, like where you're practicing more. Sometimes they do two-a-days. Possibly not used to the three games and three nights. And in the Poland team, it's kind of, you know, it's hard to know what you're going to get. The Polish national team's improved quite a lot. they've got a lot of players in the Polish national team that have some good imports. On paper, they're going to be a tough side to beat. I think all the teams in this group are fairly even. And we're going confident. That's the way I want guys to think. They'll be satisfied. I think we want to win the group, and that's the expectation we want to set. Be disappointed if you don't.
You've guys now, Kevin Westgarth, Ray Sawada, Cody Brookwell, Kevin Shred, Adam Keefe, Darren Lloyd, you know, a lot of real tough competitors. Are these guys going to have to sort of temper the way they play this weekend and temper their style, almost play the officials as much as the opposition?
Well, I think so. I mean, we do speak about, when we go to Europe, about make sure that you play the right way for European referees, European hockey. Like, you want to use your body, but you want to use your body smart. A lot of it is angling and finishing the hits when you're in the perfect position, making sure you're not putting sticks on guys, using your legs, you know, to back check, not your sticks. And you know, you can get penalties for hitting too hard in European competitions in general. So there's a good time for that. You know, you've got to pick your spots. So if we need a momentum swing, if we need to find a way to kind of create a spark on our team, that's exactly what we want to see. But if you're playing with a lead, you know, you want to play smart, kind of taking time and space away from players, using your body, but using your body to angle more than it is to really, really kind of hit late or hit high or hit, you know, to finish guys when there's potential that you just might get one of those through these.
And then, Coach, we'll finish off with no chat with the coach of the Giants this season would be complete without a chat about our players that have been watching more than playing of late. You know, Mark McCutcheon, Mike Compton, and sadly Mark Garside seem to have gone down lately with injuries. Is there any update on their status?
Yeah, we're hoping to have both McCutcheon and Compton back at some point this weekend. That was the hope, you know, the doctor report. They skated pretty hard today, so that one of the big tests will be how they feel tomorrow. If there's been any setbacks, like it was the first day where they got involved in contact and were playing actively in all the drills. They've been able to keep their fitness levels up by getting to the gym and doing the skating after, at least McCutcheon, like it wasn't like Andrew Compton was in such good shape, and you know, he's been spending a lot of time in the gym and doing the right things to be ready. He's built himself back in the lineup. I think he's frustrated that he was just starting to kind of find form, not just starting, he was starting to find form before that, but he was becoming extremely good player for us, you know, very creative. When he got injured, he was best game of the year was probably the one in Coventry where we won 7-2. He was extremely dangerous in that game. So those guys will hopefully be back in the lineup this week. Garside will know more tomorrow. A lot of this weekend.
Well, Coach, thank you as always for your time, and I suppose on behalf of all us here, we'd like to wish you all the very best for the weekend. Let's hope we get come home with the right result.
Thank you very much.
So thank you there to Steve Thornton. I think Davey rang him when he was in his car, so apologies if the audio didn't sound to our high quality standards. And I would like to confirm that Steve Thornton was using a hands-free kit, if our friends in the local force are taking note of that interview. Now, on the back of that interview, we noticed that Compon and McCutcheon are due to be back with Garside out. And Davey, how important is it to have players of the quality of Compon and McCutcheon back in the Belfast Giants lineup against four-line hockey, let's face it, this weekend?
First and foremost, you know, Neil had just talked about that a moment ago there about Garside and Compon. Compon coming back into the face-off circle gives us possession more often than not. You know, definitely over the weekend there, you could see that we were down in the face-off circle badly. We lost a lot of draws. The guys that came in did their best, did well, but you know, Compon, Garside are two face-off kings, and you know, Garside missing for a number of weeks now is going to be a big loss as well, because even when on third line, having possession, to start with possession is very important. If you're facing, you know, tricky face-offs in your own zone, you get possession, get it out, and then you start the cycle, you start the forecheck. But you know, Compon coming back
he's an athlete. You know, Compound coming back, when he steps back on the ice, he'll be ready to go. McCutcheon's been out a long time, so he mightn't just be as sharp. But this weekend's going to be, you know, I wouldn't imagine either of them will play all three games. I would think that that'll be probably a bridge too far to expect them just to drop back in and play back to back to back. But, you know, to say the crucial element, especially of Mike Compound taking away his playmaking ability, is that, you know, he can win so many draws for us and start us off with possession.
And coach, on speaking to both Westgarth and Thornton, I think what Davey got from both of those interviews was the expectation that they need to win all three games. Taking the heart out of it and using that grey head of yours, is that likely?
I'm going to be brutally honest, as Calvin Elfring was in his face-off interview earlier on with the BBC. I don't know too much about these teams, to be brutally honest with you. You know, I'd probably have paid more attention to Sanok, the Polish side, because Adam Keefe's very good friend, Mike Danton, plays for them. But I don't really know that much about these teams. So I genuinely don't know that much what to kind of expect from them. No doubt, as you quite rightly say, they're going to roll four lines at us. They're going to be a good quality hockey opposition. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, I think the fact that McCutcheon and Compon are back is obviously going to help us, especially Mike Compon. Davey's 100% right. McCutcheon has been out for a long time. You know, for him to step in and be a vital contributor is maybe be asking a wee bit too much of him. But Mike Compon, before he picked up his niggle, was absolutely superb. He was really starting to hit his stride. You know, I think, and I said it fairly early on, especially once I saw what he could actually bring to the table, I think Mike Compon, come the end of this season, Belfast Giants fans are going to be waxing lyrical about him. I really do. And I have to say, just another thing of Mike Compon, because he's been injured the last couple of home games, he's been sat up beside Sis and I while we're doing commentary. Mike Compon, for those fans that obviously maybe don't see him or whatever up in the media suite, he is like a fan. He is up screaming and shouting and clapping every single save from the goaltender, every big hit that goes in, every goal that goes in. You know, he eats, sleeps and drinks it, and I love seeing that in one of my players. You know, as a Belfast Giants fan, you want to see your players really giving a damn, and Mike Compon is one of those. He went up even further in my estimations.
Well, it'd be great to see him back on the ice, and I'm sure it will be a positive return.
Hetchy, if we could just, you're asking coach questions there just about the teams. You know, the host Angers wants, or Jean-Sébastien Aubin in nets for them, well over 200 games in the NHL. You know, he's going to be crucial to them. I think Steve Thornton mentioned in his interview there, you know, the French league, although the French national team in the league is not a bad standard, they don't play that many games in a season. They'll not be used to playing three games in three nights. And I think we play them on the Saturday night, am I right, coach?
Saturday.
So they're going back to back. They play Sanok then on the Sunday. That's going to be a crucial game for them. That is probably what people are. Sorry, no, they play the Belarus team on the Sunday. We play them on the Friday. You get the impression that the hosts are going to be up against it because they're, you know, just physically they're not used to playing three games in three nights. The Giants are going to come in, although they're slightly shorter benched in terms of the European teams will be able to run four lines against us, although we're fully up the, you know, what are normally IHL quota would be in terms of players. I think that we're more used to that physicality, as in the physical effort required to play three games in a row or two games, three games, you know, in consecutive days. So I think we're well set here. Getting off against Neman Grondo on Friday is going to be a big thing. We've never played against Belarus teams, so, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's a bit of an unknown quantity. But, you know, I think we're thereabouts. Top two teams go through to the grand final. Why not make it us?
Well, looking at the set, I quite like, you talked about the NHL netminder in between the pipes for the French team, and I always looked at the French league as to being quite on a par with the Elite League, really, in terms of prestige. You've got the team on Friday from Belarus, having their head coach won a silver medal in the Continental Cup previously with a fellow Belarusian team. My favourite stat, though, is the Sunday evening fixture against the team from Poland, Sanok. Netminder Brian Pitton played 52 games for Fife. Right. Coach, do we know anything about coverage? Where can the Giants fans who aren't lucky enough to be able to get over there, how are they going to be able to keep in touch with these games?
Yeah, I know that Premier were trying their damnedest to try and get coverage this weekend sorted out, but it just wasn't able to, be agreed upon. So I'm not 100% sure. I do know that the Lavery's Bar are showing the all three games live, but I dare say there's a webcast somewhere to be found on that. But I don't actually know the details on that. I'll have to do a bit of Googling over the next 24, 48 hours.
As soon as we have the details, Hitchy, they'll be on a view from the bridge for all the listeners out there to get tuned into the games.
Absolutely, absolutely. And bad news about Premier. Obviously, they've been fantastic support for the Elite League and for the teams like Nottingham showing their games away. And but they've got a great consolation prize, haven't they? They're in Hull on Saturday night. So, fingers crossed, best of luck from everyone, I guess, across the UK, but especially from the view from the Bridge team to the Belfast Giants. I think they fly over tomorrow or get the bus over tomorrow. I've seen Twitter pictures of people sleeping in beds on a bus. Oh, it's like those school trips of old, isn't it? Just keep your curtain closed when the lights go off. But the Giants, for me, have got a great opportunity to get that top two. And you never know, if they get the Super Final, wouldn't it be brilliant to see those games in Belfast? I certainly would be rummaging around Flybe's website to see if I can get myself over and sleep in Neil's spare room.
Always welcome, Hitchy.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. Just make sure you get rid of the, we've mentioned before, if you can't catch the games either in person or on a webcast, Premier Sports are back in action this weekend as Hull host Dundee. Murph's joined by Grand Slam Sheffield Steeler Paul Ady on your home for hockey, Premier Sports. So make sure you tune in. Give those guys support. They deserve it. They do a great job. Big, big doubleheader up in Brayhead. The Sheffield Steelers are up there Friday and Saturday, and then they come home to play Coventry home on the Sunday. And the Nottingham Panthers, are sincere when we hope they get back on track. They're up in Scotland back-to-back against Dundee and Fife, and Caywall is back between the pipes. So, yes, while the Giants are away playing in Europe, there's some big, big games in the Elite League, and I suppose it's difficult, isn't it, because Sheffield are playing Brayhead twice. But hopeful for the Giants to have a good season, a good weekend in the Elite League as well. How would you like that split series to go, guys? What's the best result for the Belfast Giants in terms of Sheffield playing Brayhead twice?
There's a power cut at the shopping centre.
Davy McGimsey, there's only one Davy McGimsey. No interest whatsoever in any other team in the Elite League.
But coach, you know, you once turned your back on Scottish hockey like a disgusted parent in a shopping centre yourself. But now you're passionate about it. One trip to have dinner with Finity and the Scottish League's yours.
Mark, I'm going to argue back with you here. My complaint about Scottish hockey was always based around, well, it was mainly based around the Edinburgh Capitals and maybe at the time the likes of the Dundee Stars and to maybe slightly lesser extent the Fife Flyers in terms of their overall investment into the Elite League in terms of their recruitment. You know, all the teams, possibly bar Edinburgh, have really upped their game big time. The Brayhead clan, I was always a big, big fan of the Brayhead clan. I like what they're doing there. I like their setup. I like the way they operate. I think they've got a really good squad this season. In terms of the fixtures this weekend, probably a split series, to be honest with you. Between those two, between Sheffield and Brayhead, probably do us okay.
And obviously two defeats for Nottingham in Dundee and Fife. So thank you both, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure as always. What you don't realise, guys, we are seamless. Davey has received and completely unpacked a week's worth of Tesco shopping. What a pro. This has been A View from the Bridge. I'd like to say yes.
Hitchy, you've got on the agenda there any other business?
Is there any other business?
He's just no Paddy Smith. Sure, he's not there. He's no Paddy Smith.
Sorry, what was the question, Hitchy?
Is there any other business?
Not from me. Yes, there is. Hitchy, obviously, a wee bit of news there from around the league that you didn't discuss this week was Ryan Finnerty's tirade against the good people of Kirkcaldy. He got jabbed and poked, apparently, and some of his players had to listen to some fruity language during the game the other day. Well, Fife have this afternoon came out with their own statement, which basically said the game was a bit delayed, a few people had a few drinks, but all the tickets are selling really well for the next fixture, so I think they've kind of swept that under the carpet.
Well, it's a dirty carpet in Kirkcaldy, just like the dirty mouths on the children's faces. Thank you very much, Davey. Coach, have you got anything you'd like to add before we all drift off into the night?
Other than to say a massive good luck to the team this weekend in France, as you already alluded to. You know, hope to see the Belfast Giants passion out there on the ice. I'm sure there's quite a few heading over to France as well. And hope everybody has a safe trip over there. Hope you all have a fantastic time, and I hope the players put their heart and soul into it over the course of the three games, and hopefully get us through to that grand final. Good luck to all the guys and all the travelling fans.
As Coach would say, hear, hear.
Bonjour de chance. Je m'appelle Marc Hitchcock. Au revoir.
So there you go, folks. Thanks as always to Hitchy and Neil, the head of hockey operations, Steve Thornton, and of course Kevin Westgarth for his time. Best wishes to your Belfast Giants as they head off to France, and let's hope for some good results. And don't forget to get in touch with us if you want to. You can get us on email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, our website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast, on Twitter, @AVFTB, interviews on SoundCloud, our pictures are all on the Instagram account. Rants, you can get us on 02895817510. Give us your thoughts, best ones we'll use on next week's show. But if you're in France this week, have a superb time. Make sure you come back horse. Get over to Lavery's if you're not getting to France, or if you're just cheering on the guys from the comfort of your own front room. We hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you next time here on A View from the Bridge. Touch it up against the world and steal you around.